Anarchy isn't generally viewed as being very desirable, and yet when it comes to sex, we think it's a good idea. Well, Skip Heitzig says there's a very good reason why a lack of boundaries and sex don't mix.
You have to understand that the sexual impulse is God-given, therefore it must be God-governed. When it is not, it can become and does become perverted. Fire is beautiful in a fireplace. Take it out of the fireplace, put it on the couch. Suddenly, that fire is not so beautiful. It's the potential for total destruction and ruin.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
In 1986, a combination of human error and imperfect technology caused one of the worst nuclear meltdowns in history. The explosion at Chernobyl poured more than 100 times the radiation of the Hiroshima bomb into the surrounding atmosphere. The accident at Chernobyl demonstrated what happens when nuclear power is improperly handled. But as bad as that disaster was, it's not nearly as devastating as when we mishandle another volatile substance, sex. Stay with us here on The Connection with Skip Heitzig to find out more, right after we talk a bit about a lighter subject, what to get people for Christmas. But you need to place your order before December 13th to ensure it gets to you before Christmas. So don't wait too much longer to get your shopping done.
In 1965, television history was made when Linus, in response to Charlie Brown's question of what is Christmas all about, quoted the Bible.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord.
The story of Jesus' birth is one of the most well-known Bible stories, but there's a lot more to discover in God's Word. This Christmas, take your kids on a fun-filled journey to discover what's in the Bible. A new show from VeggieTales creator Phil Vischer. In Volume 1, In the Beginning, your kids will learn where the Bible came from and how it was put together. They'll also learn about the beginning of God's plan of salvation, a plan that included the birth of Jesus.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
What's in the Bible, a new series from Phil Vischer, makes it fun for the whole family to learn about the Bible. Get your copy of the first volume, In the Beginning, on DVD for just $12 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Find Christmas gifts with meaning from The Connection. Call 1-800-922-1888.
And we have several other gift ideas for you to browse through, so be sure to visit our website at connectionradio.org. Skip Heitzig continues with his message, Sex Education, Solomon Style. So open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs and join us as we learn how to wise up about sex.
And make the connection.
While today's world may seem to think that sex is no big deal and just a biological function, God takes it very seriously. Here's Skip Heitzig to begin our time today.
A man wrote to Dear Abby these words, Dear Abby, I'm in love and I'm having an affair with two different women. I can't marry them both. Please tell me what to do, but don't give me any of that morality stuff. Her answer was awesome. Dear sir, the only difference between humans and animals is morality. Please write to a veterinarian. I mean, don't give me any morality stuff. You're a human being. Now let's look at the pain of sexual promiscuity. The pursuit of sexual passion is mentioned in verses 1 through 3. It quickly turns in verse 4. But in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder the path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. You see how descriptive this is? This is the end of it. Kids, listen up. It might seem very sweet at first, but it's very bitter in the end. You can lose your wealth, you can lose your house, you can lose your family, you can lose your physical health. You could die from it. And you say, verse 12, I have hated instruction, my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. These are disastrous consequences. See, a lot of people will say, listen, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with a little premarital, extramarital sex? I mean, people do it all the time, and they get by with it. And they seem very happy. They get away with it. Please ponder verse 4 then. It says, but in the end. Ponder those words. See, that's exactly what people do not consider when they enter into an affair. In the end. It's only at the beginning. That's what they consider. In the end is what you consider. These are the final effects of a life of those who make this their lifestyle. We have to understand that the sexual impulse is God-given. Therefore, it must be God-governed. When it is not, it can become and does become perverted. Fire is beautiful in a fireplace. Take it out of the fireplace, put it on the couch. Suddenly, that fire is not so beautiful. It's the potential for total destruction and ruin. With that in mind, and that analogy in mind, look at chapter 6, verse 26. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? So fire is good in its place, outside of its place, it's destructive. A dirt in that freshly planted garden, women, is beautiful. But let your husband track that dirt on his shoes, on your new white carpet, and suddenly it's not as beautiful. It has its place. Out of place, it becomes very obviously dirty. Now, I often hear people, I had a friend of mine who eventually did give his heart to the Lord, but you know, this was his big contention. I don't want to become a Christian. Christianity is so negative. All these, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not have this and that. It's so negative. It's so negative. This is positive. God is trying to protect you and protect your future relationships. How can you see that as negative? You see a sign on a door that says, do not enter. Oh, that's so negative. No, keep reading. Do not enter. Explosives. You might say, listen, they're trying to cramp my style. I want to go in that room. See, that's a negative message, but it has a positive motivation to keep you from blowing up. Or the sign that says, one way, do not enter. It's not there to destroy you. It's there to protect you. It's got a positive motivation behind it. Now, verse 4 says, but in the end, she is bitter as wormwood. Let's understand what that means. Wormwood is a Middle Eastern plant that secretes a dark green, very bitter oil. And the term wormwood is used in Revelation. It's used a few times in the Old Testament. It's a word that is used analogously of sorrow of heart and bitterness of experience. Sorrow of heart and bitterness of experience. So follow his line of thinking. The lips of an immoral woman, man, they're like honey, sweet to the taste. It begins sweet, but it ends up very, very bitter, as does wormwood. J. Allen Peterson called this whole affair tantalization the myth of the greener grass. It's the myth when a person says, if I just have this other person on the side, if I have an affair with this person, my life will be fulfilled. It will be the answer to a lot of my problems. My wife doesn't treat me like this person treats me. My husband didn't treat me like that person treats me. But in the end, it's bitter as wormwood. Verse 9 is very descriptive as well. It says, lest you give your honor to others. The word honor means the grace and the freshness of youth. In other words, your best years, your most useful years, the best of your life will be wasted away. That's the idea behind the word honor. You see, this sin has the potential to destroy your life and everybody else's life. Let's get it right. Sin has a high price tag. It's very expensive. And this one especially can destroy life. That's why I get angry when I hear terms like free love. It's not free. If it's not within the parameters of God's intentions, you will pay for it. Or words like safe sex. It's not safe. There's nothing safe about it. And a condom doesn't make it safe. It will scar people. Everyone involved gets hurt. Well, let's look at who it hurts. Look at chapter 6, verse 32. First of all, it hurts you. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Now look back at chapter 5, verse 11. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. It can injure us in a number of different ways. First of all, physically. There's the possibility of a sexually transmitted disease, syphilis, chlamydia, AIDS. It can destroy you emotionally. It talks about eating away at your own soul back in verse 32 of chapter 6. And look at verse 12 of chapter 5. Your flesh, your body is consumed. And you say, verse 12, I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. In other words, a person at last will say, why didn't I listen? Emotionally, that person is now torn. They're destroyed inside. Now, some people will rationalize and they'll say, well, I'll marry this person that I'm having an affair with and everything will be fine then. I'll just make a brand new start. But they find that they take their old problems into the new marriage. In fact, think about it. The new marriage, based upon an affair, has twice the chance for failure because it's built on deception. It began with an affair. It began with deceiving the original spouse. How difficult then would it be to trust someone who has that constant and repeated deception over and over again over a period of time? As Robert Count puts it, the second and third marriages based on this, on adultery, fail at an even higher rate than first marriages. And the failure rate will continue to rise at an unprecedented rate if this current trend continues. So you can hurt yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In each of the warnings in chapters 5, 6, and 7, Solomon does something very important. He says, now listen, kids, listen to my wisdom. Listen to these commands. These are the commands of God. And he prefaces with the admonition to obey the Word of God, because the Word of God is like a guide in life. It leads you down safe paths. So when you go the wrong path after immorality, you shut yourself off to the Word of God, and you have no spiritual peace, you have no fellowship with God, people drop out of church. It destroys you spiritually. So it can hurt you, first of all. Secondly, it can hurt your family, your mate, and your children. Paul put it this way. He talked about immorality in 1 Corinthians, that there is a oneness bond between a husband and a wife that is destroyed because of an affair. 1 Corinthians says, do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two shall become one flesh. In other words, that act of sex, it's not just an act of sex. There's a unique, mysterious spiritual bonding that occurs that was meant to be part of the marriage, two becoming one flesh. I often at a wedding talk about two pieces of paper being glued together. For the Bible says a man will leave his father and mother and cleave, or literally be glued to his wife, and the two become one flesh. If you take two pieces of paper and glue them together and it hardens, try to separate those two pieces of paper. You may be able to do it, but not without great damage. Those two pieces of paper will never be like they were originally. There is a destruction that takes place. And so it is with an extramarital sexual affair. it can destroy that oneness bond. I think that's the reason Jesus gave permission when there's been sexual immorality for that innocent party who has been transgressed against to divorce for the one and the only cause, which is sexual immorality. You see, it's more than sex. It's the deception that destroys the marriage, the months of lying that breaks down the fiber of trust that those two people had together. I have an article from, again, USA Today survey. Fred Humphrey, the past president of the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy, was doing some work, and the article says, experts say that extramarital affairs rarely have happy endings. Humphrey points out that about half of the married couples either divorce or separate when the spouse learns of the other affair. Others anguish over trying to salvage the relationship. Learning about it results in instant pain and anger, he says. Then there will always be a barrier to some extent. Not only that, but the trust the family had is eroded. The kids that look up to the parents for example. You know, the parents will say, now, let me tell you about being pure. But what example did we set when we were younger or to them? Like David, I don't want to press this issue too far, but David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And we see the effects later on in his own life. Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. Amnon was one of the sons of David. Absalom killed him and then committed immorality himself. And think about a worst-case scenario where an affair with someone who had a disease was brought into the marriage. And what if eventually the husband and the wife even died? It's been known to happen, leaving the children without any parents. So it can destroy you. It can destroy wives and husbands. It can destroy children. And it can hurt others as well. It's not just a family thing. The church is hurt by it. Paul said, if one member suffers, all of the body of Christ suffers with it. It's a pain that is brought into the church. Look at it this way. Every obedient believer strengthens the body of Christ. Every disobedient one weakens the body of Christ. Besides that, it hinders unbelievers from coming to Christ. They see affairs going on among Christians and they think, why should I become a Christian? There's no difference between the world and them. Why should I do that? Remember when Nathan approached King David with his sin and David wept, of course, and said, I have sinned. Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. I like that. He's assuring David, there's forgiveness, David. God's not going to leave you stranded. God is a God of love and forgiveness and mercy. The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. So it'll hurt you. It'll hurt your wife or your husband. It'll hurt your children. It hurts the body of Christ. It hinders unbelievers from coming to Christ. And finally, it hurts the heart of God. It hurts the heart of God. It makes sense if God says, this is the intention of marriage that I have developed for you, not only to be pure and for marriage to stay intact, but for your fulfillment. To violate that intention violates the heart of God. Isn't it amazing that God is usually the last one that's considered? It's, oh, you've hurt me. Oh, you've hurt the children. Oh, you've... Yeah, that's true. And it's horrible. But you've hurt God. That's why David in Psalm 51, after he was confronted by Nathan with the sin of adultery, he prays this, against thee only and thee only have I sinned and committed this iniquity in your sight. He's not saying I didn't sin against Bathsheba, I didn't sin against Uriah, I didn't sin against my family, but first and foremost, God, I did not consider you. I've sinned against your holy heart. William Barclay said, sin becomes a crime, not against law, but against love. It means not breaking God's law so much as breaking God's heart. So, wrapping it all up this week, sexual passion given by God is awesome. And we'll see that next week in context of the marriage relationship as outlined in these verses. But sexual passion outside of the parameters that God has set always brings pain and destruction. Always. No exceptions involved. And I want to add a final note. Adultery is sin. Sexual immorality is sin. And that's precisely why it is forgivable. You don't have to stop with that. Oh, I feel so guilty. It's forgivable. Jesus came to die for sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Every sin is washable by the blood of Jesus Christ. No one ever has to remain behind the wall of guilt and say, oh, I've done this my life. Hey, it's all forgivable. Bring it under the blood of Jesus Christ. But I don't want to make light of it because this is a warning here. Even as Nathan said, David, you're not going to die. Your sin has been forgiven. God will forgive you. There are consequences. And those consequences can often last a lifetime. I want to close with a letter, believe it or not, to Ann Landers. It's in a newspaper. It's from a guy in Wisconsin who writes, 11 years ago, I walked out on a 12-year marriage. My wife was a good person, but for a long time, she was under a lot of stress. Instead of helping her, I began an affair with her best friend. And this is what I gave up. Number one, seeing my daughter grow up. Number two, the respect of many longtime friends. Number three, the enjoyment of living as a family. Number four, a wife who was loyal, appreciative, and who tried very hard to make me happy. And this is what I got, he says to Ann Landers. Number one, two stepchildren who treat me like dirt. Two, a wife who didn't know how to make anything for dinner but reservations. Number three, a wife whose only interest in me was how much money she could get. Number four, a wife who disparaged my family and ruined all my existing relationships. Number five, finally, the best thing I got was a bitter, expensive divorce. Anne, please tell your readers that anyone who is married and has his or her next mate all lined up is looking for trouble. People don't know what they are giving up until they no longer have it, and then it is too late. Signed, Otis of Wisconsin. His Camelot was a myth. It ended in tragedy. May that not happen among us.
You don't really appreciate what you have until it's gone. That statement doesn't always have to be true. You can learn to cherish what you have now. Although the pleasures of this world may be seductive and enticing, if nothing else, remember the lesson Otis of Wisconsin learned. They're nothing but trouble. And that's all the time we have for today. But before we go, if you're still having trouble finishing up your Christmas shopping, we have some ideas that should make it easier. Here's one of them.
What do your kids hope to find under the Christmas tree? Video games? Movies? Music? The various forms of media are perennial favorites at Christmas time, but their popularity should raise some questions. What sort of impact is the current vampire craze having on kids? Is it really just innocent fun to play as a sorcerer in an online video game? How is the flood of sexual images in everything from TV to music affecting young, impressionable lives? Shattered explores these vital issues and what you need to know to protect your kids. Hosted by Skip Heitzig and featuring a wide array of experts, Shattered is a look at the dark side of today's media. Get your copy today for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Plus, when you order, we'll also include a free copy of Skip's booklet, Cosmic Conflict. Order the documentary Shattered for just $15. Call 1-800-922-1888 or see all of the other gifts with meaning available from The Connection when you visit connectionradio.org.
And don't forget that you need to have your order in by December 13th to ensure its arrival by Christmas. So get yours in today at connectionradio.org. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's teaching. And as always, we have a copy of it that we'd be happy to send you when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. You can also get a copy from our website at connectionradio.org. Now, keep in mind that we wouldn't be able to bring you these daily teachings from Skip without your help. So we always appreciate your support, especially as we approach the end of the year. Your gifts during this season make a huge impact in this ministry. So if you can share a little extra with us, please give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. Or stop by connectionradio.org, pick up a copy of today's teaching or this series, and help support the ministry of The Connection. You can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 877-207-8799. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for sharing your support.
And make the connection.
Going to continue with this important topic on our next broadcast, so be sure to join us as we continue with our sex education Solomon style. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.